I bet there's a lot of you out there that are happy to hear that again as we've ventured out of the soccer realm for just a little bit and brought you some Ozark and chill with my boy Frank. And look, we won't do much of that on this channel anymore moving forward, but obviously we're a little light on the sports and wanted to get something up quick with Ozark Season 3 being released just this past weekend. But we're back to Talking Soccer, and this is the Talking Soccer Pod, Episode 57. I am your boy Duke. Feeling good. And by the way, flying solo again, which feels good as well. You can find me on Twitter at DukeDFS. We are brought to you by EliteFantasy.com and EliteSportsBetting.com. We're trying to keep you guys entertained over there with anything we got. Horse racing, poker, League of Legends, esports is going crazy. We've got sports simulations. Mad Lab and I did a UFC simulation car, which is a ton of fun. All kinds of good stuff over there. But let's get back to soccer because I miss it, man. I miss it. You know, I was having a conversation with my friend the other day. We understood and we knew that sports were a huge part of our everyday lives. But you never know what you have until it's gone. And the question that comes up for me is, when is it coming back? Will it come back anytime soon? I mean, it'll definitely come back, right? Yes, but they just canceled Wimbledon. And that was scheduled for June 29th through July 12th, not postponed, just canceled altogether. And so I was a little bit encouraged when I saw, you know, the EPL and the EFL and everybody talking about maybe a World Cup style finish to the season, you know, get everybody kind of quarantined and reserved into one little area there in the Midlands and London, and having just essential people attend these games and playing a rapid fire kind of 6-week finish to the season. That sounded awesome and promising and doable. But then Wimbledon gets canceled. And then the Prem comes out today and says they're in agreement with their players that no games will take place until it's assured that everyone is safe. And on the surface, it's hard to disagree with that, right? I mean, I think player safety is more important than our entertainment at this point. That's why no one's playing sports right now. And my stance has changed a little bit because this is extending even further than I had anticipated. At this point, I talked about the importance of having fans in the stands for some of these clubs to survive. Now it's going the other way. Granted, it's mostly Premier League teams that we're talking about here, and the bigger league teams who have huge TV contracts. Now they're at risk of having to pay money back if these games don't get played. And so there's so much going on right now and so many question marks. We talked about the futures on the last episode of the Talking Soccer Pod. I still think Germany, the Bundesliga, is the first to go. But even just here in the States, the Philadelphia Union today just had one of their players test positive. I don't think we're getting MLS soccer anytime before maybe July, even August. I can't say that with any certainty. But overseas, I really thought the curves would flatten, solutions would be found. You know, antibodies would be created and vaccines would be created and all kinds of things. And most importantly, importantly, we find a way to get these games played so that we don't have our 2020-2021 seasons interrupted. That's looking very much in doubt. And look, all this is super depressing. All of it is. And I could spend another 25 minutes going through this, but probably by the time I come out with this podcast on Thursday, everything's going to change anyway. So why bother? Why depress you guys with all this? So I figured let's stop that talk and let's talk about something I love to talk about. Me, baby. Me, baby. I love talking about me. Come get me some me. I've had a billion questions, especially as the follower count continues to grow on the social media platforms over there, about my own playing career. So I figured let's just talk through that. I've answered a few of the questions, but honestly, I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast here. I figured it's probably easier for me to go through it here. So let's just start at the very beginning. Look, I'm 36 years old now. I never played a minute of professional football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. I did have some tryouts, did have some opportunities, and nothing came to fruition, unfortunately, for a lot of different reasons we'll get into. But I played for, 24 years of my life? Basically, it was everything to me. I started when I was 2 years old, just in little peewee soccer, not even playing really, just kind of walking around and being babysat. But then as we get into the youth sports, you know, 6, 7, 8, started playing just normal, local league soccer, right? I liked soccer. I loved basketball. And I was better at basketball than I was at soccer for a lot of my life, honestly, for a lot of my youth. But I'll never forget. And I, you know, as I was putting this plan together for today, I was trying to figure out, when did I really fall in love with soccer? And really, it was about when I was 8, 9 years old, maybe even 10 years old, because I was playing indoor soccer while playing in my basketball league. And I don't know if it was the smaller field or the walls and the constant action or the insane amount of goals that I scored in that particular league, but I really enjoyed playing the game. And it started to finally waver from, you know, basketball over to soccer a little bit. And I'm not from a soccer family. I was the first person to play in my family. Neither of my parents played, really knew much about the sport in general. And by the way, they played a huge role in my career as a huge positive. But, you know, even at that time, I started to realize this is pretty damn fun. And by the way, I'm actually pretty decent at this too. And I'll never forget, I actually played 5 total games in one day during the winter. I had both a basketball and a soccer tournament going on at the same time, and I was necessary for both of my teams. So I didn't want to and didn't have to, thank God, pick and choose on which I was going to go to. So I think the order went, I started with the soccer game at like 7 a.m., then drove, you know, across town to a basketball game, came back, played back-to-back soccer games, and then finished with the basketball game at like 4:30 at night. I think that was the order. They may have gone basketball, soccer, you know, I don't know, but no matter what, I slept well that night. But look, I was crazy about sports and had nothing but energy, and my parents were willing to take me to all these things. So why not take advantage? But I really started to understand that I really enjoyed this sport. And so when we moved around, which we did quite a bit, from Ohio to Texas, I joined a team that was a little bit more of a level up for me, right? It wasn't the top team in the state by any mean. It was barely a travel team, but we did play some out-of-town tournaments and played some more competitive games, higher-level games. You know, certainly we were training more often. We had a specific trainer, not just a dad who was there, you know, or someone who maybe used to play a little bit. It was a competitive, high-level trainer that was teaching us how to play the game. And we played, if you're familiar with this kind of team, like a team like the Texans, quite a bit, who's, you know, one of the biggest teams in the country, frankly, but certainly in the state of Texas, where everything's bigger, and started to really kind of get that feeling of, this is a big deal for soccer. Now, looking back on it, it was like a glorified local team, right? It was a pretty good local team is what it was. Then we moved one more time. I should say we moved again to New Jersey, and soccer in New Jersey is really where my trajectory changed. Number one, I was still pretty good at basketball, playing on a really competitive team there my freshman year of high school, starting every game, playing every game, starting to get some many looks at, colleges, even though I was a shorter kid for sure. You know, I'd won some MVPs of camps and tournaments, played on all-star teams, and then starting my freshman year and was probably leaning towards basketball, honestly. But as I'm playing for a local rec level team, because we had just moved in and hadn't done a ton of research of where to go, I went for a tryout for a county team that was going to be coached by Mark Shearer. And I mentioned Mark Shearer by name because he was a fantastic trainer. Fantastic from a tactical standpoint, from a technical standpoint, completely changed the trajectory of my life. And I've told him this before. So if Mark happens to, if this gets to Mark somehow, shout out Mark Shearer. You're the man, dude. But I didn't think I had any chance of hell. I had a confidence issue. Didn't think I was good enough to play for this county team in a new state where I knew absolutely nobody. I made the team, running around the house, right? This team included a trip to England. It was going to be competitive. All of our games would require travel. We did have some home games, but even the home field was, 45 minutes away from my house. This was such a level up for me that when it came for the first training session, even though I was excited as hell to make this team and excited as hell to play for this team, I locked myself in my room to the point where my mom is trying to beat down my door so we don't miss the first goddamn training session. I just didn't feel like I was worthy of playing on this team. And granted, I'm like 12 years old maybe. So, it's not like I was playing in the World Cup or anything. It was just a county team. That was a huge step up for me at the time. And I definitely wasn't the best player on that team at the start when I first went to it. But the metamorphosis of my ability with both my mind and my feet was unbelievable. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced since. And certainly when you're younger, you pick things up. Certainly in the game of soccer, a couple weeks can totally change your form. A couple months you know, to a year can completely be two different players, right? Especially as you grow, you know, you come into your body, et cetera. And, you know, that first year, I made a huge stride in the team. I was starting every single game. You know, I was a key player on the team, but, you know, was more of like a glue guy, workhorse, you know, kind of played in the center mid, more of a defensive center mid, blocking the back four and maybe spraying the balls wide and letting the talent go forward, right? And then we head into that summer. We take our trip to England, absolute blast. This was more of a, you know, let's go see what it's like over there, right? We've all watched these games every once in a while when we get them in the States of the Premier League. And we've heard about Chelsea and, you know, Portsmouth and Manchester United and all of this. And so let's go check it out. Really, really fun time. I don't even know where we were, in the middle of nowhere, England, playing in a small tournament that Mark had some connections with just to get us some exposure. Really, really enjoyed that. My dad came over with me as one of the chaperones. And really, really enjoyed ourselves over there. Actually fell in love with the weather a little bit. It was gloomy. It was rainy. I love playing in the rain. Ball moves so fast on that slick surface. And really, I think kind of re-fell in love with this game and realized after one training session that I'd done with one of the coaches from a different club that we'd played, it was a finishing drill. Something I hadn't really worked on, right? It was more of a CDM. Didn't really need to know that. And he didn't have a goalie in goal. It was a smaller goal that I'll never forget, the goal itself. It was only about 3 feet off the ground, but it was the width of an actual goal. And about 3 feet off the post on either side of the goal was a cone. And the goal was, I'm going to, you know, start about the penalty spot. I'm going to run out around a cone, which was on the edge, you know, not the edge, but kind of the edge of the D of the 18-yard box. Turn, I would receive a pass, and then if hopefully my first touch was good. No matter where it was, I was to hit it low and hard in one of these corners. And the first time I did it, we ran through about 10 shots and I missed the goal probably six or seven times. And he kind of pulled me aside, said, well, what are you trying to do? You know, as you're turning, I said, what do you mean? I'm trying to put it in the corner here. And he's like, well, yeah, but when do you start thinking about that? And I'm like, well, as soon as I take my touch, wherever it's going, I kind of figure out, you know, where I want to go and how I need to strike a ball, right? Just trying to make something up because I had no idea what the hell I was doing. As much technical advancement as I'd made, I'd never tried to do anything like this. And he really changed the way I thought about it. He said, you know where the goal is, right? You're doing the same movements every single time. So you know about where your first touch needs to be in order to give yourself space to run onto it. Can't be too close to your body. Can't be too far away. That's not the point of this drill. And so your first touch, you need to be thinking about what you want to do before that ball gets to you. And so we did the drill again, and I thought about it before it got to me, and I realized where I needed to have my first touch. And all of a sudden, 8 of my 10 first touches were right where it needed to be. Right outside my feet, take 2 steps, bang, find the corner. And maybe I missed a corner every once in a while, but certainly the first touch was better and my results at the end were better. So I'm thinking, Jesus, this is fun. Do you mind if we run that back again? He's like, no, let's do it all day. We did it 2 or 3 more times. And by the end of it, it was first touch, bang. Didn't even have to look at the goal, just finding that bottom corner. And I realized, man, I had so much to learn still, obviously, but with repetition, I had the ability to get these things done. Went back, talked to my coach, my trainer, Mark, and said, that was a ton of fun, man. Thanks so much for setting that up. I would love to start doing more of this and maybe play a little bit further forward. He said, thank God. I've wanted you to do that for a couple of years. Sure enough, we head back. He says, I also want you to go out for the ODP team. For those of you international listeners, first of all, thanks. Shout out to you guys. This is a little insight into what we go through here in the States. ODP is Olympic Development Program. Essentially, it's a select program for the best players in the state. If you make that, you have a chance to go to the regional team. And from the regional team, you get showcased to the national team, right? That's the path as it used to stand when I was growing up here in the States. It's a little bit better now, but this is how archaic it was then. I made the ODP team, and that involved a lot of individual training, a lot of technical work. We got together once a month and then had some things to do in between sessions, and then we do some showcases every once in a while, right? So a lot of individual training there, and I brought that back to the select team and did a lot more of that in training. I started learning how to, you know, bend the ball at the outside of my foot and where to play to space and when to play to feet. Really developed into an actual footballer during this time period. And then we had our second trip coming up to England that I was really excited for, but my dad got transferred again, this time to Atlanta, Georgia, down south from New Jersey. We had one final tournament to play with my team before in New Jersey before we moved. And I don't even know why we did this, but we decided we were going to drive up that morning. So we got up at, 11 o'clock at night or something and left New Jersey and started driving to Delaware and literally got straight out of the car in the parking lot and went right up to the field for warmups. So it wasn't like we had great preparation or, food. I probably had like a McDonald's McMuffin or something, 2 hours before the game. Diet wasn't exactly perfect, but we're playing in the showcase. It's lined with, a couple scouts here and there. We know we're 13, 14 years old, probably at this point. Drove all night, get out. And I'll never forget this game. The first game we played is, I think it was about 8:30 in the morning, maybe 9 o'clock in the morning. Playing a really good team out of Connecticut, I want to say. Kind of a Northeastern tournament here. And I am playing a little bit further forward. I'm playing mostly a center attacking midfielder role, kind of the number 10 role, if you will. And I had a lot of freedom in this system, this new system that we've created. This is probably 6, 7, 8 months since we came back from that England trip, scoring many goals, assisting many goals, a lot more freedom. And I received the ball maybe 30 yards from goal and turned a man, kind of gave him a feint, fake over one shoulder and then go the other way. And as I'm taking on the fullback who tucked in a little bit, I'm going towards kind of the edge of the box, the top right corner of the box as we're attacking there. He's pushing me towards the sideline, and I give him one long dribble and kind of strafe to the right. Cruyff turn back to my left. So I send him to Tesco. There he goes, stumbling away. Now the center back is stepping up as I take a couple dribbles into the box. And I'll never forget it, guys and girls. It was like the Matrix, man. The center back's coming at him, and everything slowed down. I could see exactly where all of the players were on his team. I could see exactly where all the players were on my team. And it was like there were mathematical equations going on of, I know exactly how much time I have to do whatever I need to do to get past this guy. And in my head, I said, if I feint just slightly to the right, he's going to open his left leg. I'll be able to push the ball through, run around his left side, and be one-on-one with the goalie and finish. And just like that, that's exactly what I did. As I Cruyff turn, take one, two touches, the guy's coming out. I feint to my right. He opens that leg. I gently push the ball through his legs, run around his left side, bang, low and hard to the back post, goal. And I didn't even celebrate because this was the first time, the epiphany, when I realized the true potential of my abilities as my mind finally caught up to what my feet could do and vice versa. And that was my first of three goals in that game. And the last of which came in the second half after we were up 2-0. I'd scored two goals. I intercepted a pass from the center back to the fullback as they were about at the halfway line. And I'd realized all game the keeper tends to come out pretty high, plays more of a sweeper keeper role because we did play quite a few through balls in the system that we were playing. And so as I'm reading the pass, I bait him. He makes the pass. My first touch is a little bit out of my feet because I know before I even receive the pass, intercept the pass, that I am going to shoot and I'm going to score. Ball's played from the center back to the fullback. I step in the passing lane, first touch out of my feet. Don't even look up. I know where the goal's at. Bang! From the halfway line, hits the back of the net. One bounce over the line. Didn't quite make it all the way to the net. Back of the net. Arms in the air. No running. No anything. You guys come to this guy. That's the hat trick. And it was an awesome feeling, man. I was like, I could do this. This is my job. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And after the game, we always did a little breakdown of, what went well and what we could do better. And my coach and several other coaches had come up to me that were there scouting the game and said, if you had national team scouts at this game, you wouldn't even finish the tournament. You'd have your bags packed, heading down to Bradenton, Florida, and playing on the national residency team. Unfortunately, my bags were packed before a very different reason. I was heading to Atlanta. We finished up the tournament. We won the tournament. I was MVP of the tournament. And that was my last game playing with the New Jersey boys, except for across the pond over in England. So I head down to Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm going in depth here, guys, because spoiler alert, this is the peak of my abilities, 14 and 15 years old. It's sad to say, but now that I've, revisionist history, I'm looking back on it. This is when I was the highest level within my own age group and those around me. So that's why we're spending a little time here. So we fly down to Atlanta, Georgia for the transfer of my dad's job. My parents worked their tails off to find me the best team to play on. And we move down. I have about a month and a half before we leave for England for this very crucial trip where my coach had already set up several scouting sessions and a training session that I'll talk about here shortly. It was a very important trip for us, and I considered it a business trip, honestly. The first one was a, you know, fuck around, go see England, have a good time, you know, go to the water park and look at girls with big boobs instead of going to a Chelsea Portsmouth match, which is what I did, unfortunately. So we head down to Atlanta, Georgia, and I don't know why. I knew it was important for us to train, but it felt like it rained every single day. And sessions were getting canceled left and right. And I had a little bit of that feeling where I didn't even necessarily want to go train with these people. They're all new. It was a different kind of training. It was more of a roll a ball out and just play possession. There wasn't anything technical about these sessions. And I probably trained 5 or 6 times over a 6 week period. And, you know, for those of you that played the game, that's nothing. I mean, that is absolutely nothing. You know, that's going to run a marathon and you've walked a couple miles on the treadmill, you know, once a week for preparation, you know, and my form wavered. I lost my form. And I didn't know that. I didn't know how bad it was because I wasn't even playing. And so we jump on the plane, my dad and I, we head to England. And this time we're in Manchester, in Greater Manchester area to start with. And we play a couple friendlies there and actually have a training session with Man United's team. And not their first team, with their coach, their managers. They put us through an actual training session to show us what players at that level go through. And it was extremely awesome. It was eye-opening. It was enlightening to let me know kind of where I fit in the scheme of things, to see players at my age at that level. And I felt pretty strong that I could do this. But it was also in my own head, and I didn't tell anybody this, a pretty clear indication that I was not where I was 6 weeks ago in terms of level, where the matrix was opened up and I knew exactly what was going to happen. My brain was playing catch up quite a bit there at the start, which is kind of good because we were heading down to play a tournament, I think around the London area. It's a little fuzzy now. And that's where the real scouting was going to kick in. So did a couple sessions with the Man United coaches. We head down to the London area of England, play a tournament, play several games. And at this point, hey, I was the main man, right? The MVP of the tournament. I was, you know, scoring the goals, the assists, the number 10, wearing the captain's armband. And I was also the designated penalty taker. So fast forward a couple times here. We played 2 games. No goals yet. Been scouted once by Newcastle, I believe. And then the second game was by West Ham. We head to the third game and everyone's there, right? All the scouts are there. Man United's there. Newcastle's there. West Ham's there. I think Portsmouth was there. It was lined with scouts. And we're playing kind of the local legend team there from the greater London area. Playing well. Our team's playing well. Goalie's having an absolute blinder, man. Brad Lowens, my boy. Unbelievable game he played. And by the way, we're 14 years old. The guy's 6'3 and built like a brick shit house. And he's an American and he punts the ball the entire length of the field. So a lot of skills to like there. And that's a little foreshadowing there. But long story short, I'm playing okay. I'm playing well. I mean, I'm not standing out enough for them to take a chance on an American, right? To sign me to any of these academies. But playing well enough to be seen a little bit. And we come down to the last 10 minutes. I think it's tied 1-1. One of our guys gets fouled in the box. Of course, I step up and I got the ball in my hands. Now, look, we're competitive in the States, but we don't really have the gamesmanship at this point in time, you know, the late 90s to really play it up. But sure enough, those England boys, the British boys are in the ref's face, you know, surrounding the referee. They're pushing us, pushing everybody. It's, you know, it's bullshit, pen ref, you wank, blah, blah, blah. This big-ass bald dude, center back, comes up to me, grabs the ball out of my hands. I'm like, Jesus, guy, what the hell is your problem? Spits on the ball, says, fuck off, mate. Gives me the ball back. I'm like, Jesus Christ, what the hell is going on? I've never seen anything like this, right? Maybe in the football, you know, in American football. But sure enough, I put the ball down. I'm like trying to wipe off the giant loogie on the ball. I'm putting it down. They've stamped the penalty spot, so it's just giant lumps. I'm trying to, like, stamp it back down to make it even. The ref's like, come on, let's go. Put it down. Let's go. I'm like, all right, geez, guys. Like, the guys just – where were you when Big Baldy over here just spit all over the ball? Put it down. Send the keeper the wrong way. Lean back a little bit too far. Crossbar. Boom. Flies out. They clear the ball. I think we end up losing the game, but certainly had I scored that, that would have been really the end of proceedings, and we would have won that game and moved on in the tournament. We didn't. I also didn't get any offers, you know, to stay around and join any academies. We did the little trial up at Manchester United. Those coaches then once again saw my goalkeeper in that last game, and they offered him a spot in their academy. So here it is, this little team from New Jersey, this little team that could, that goes over to England, fights the big bad English boys. I'm supposed to be the one that's getting scouted. I have an absolute shit tournament because I haven't trained in 6 weeks, and maybe I wasn't just good enough, right? Maybe that's what it comes down to. I wasn't just good enough, but he certainly was. And that boy had a hell of a career that unfortunately got cut short. This was back in the Fabian Barthez days for Manchester United, if we have any Man United fans out there. He started with the under-16s. He worked his way up to the under-19s. He worked his way up to the under-21s. And then at that point, I think Barthez got hurt. And so he was getting ready to play as the backup. He was going to be on the bench for a game at Old Trafford. He was training with the first team. They were doing a crossing and finishing drill. Ball's played across. Gary Neville takes a shot from about 7 yards away off the cross. Brad slides across, dives, makes the saves, shatters his wrist. Shatters his wrist. Made the save, though, and is sent back to the United States. Never went back to England, unfortunately. And I don't even think he played in college. Maybe he played at low-level college. But kind of a sad situation there where he rose through the ranks within 4 months or so, and was getting ready to play with the first team as a 16-year-old on the bench, and shatters his wrist, unfortunately. But anyways, back to me. I go back home, go back to the U.S., a little bit dejected, but, you know, kind of understanding maybe why it didn't work out for me, and vowing never to make that mistake again. Do well. Play well, you know, here in the States, you know, play some regional team games, you know, certainly on the state team and all that. Getting scouted to a number of different colleges, take 3 of my 5 recruiting visits for the NCAAs, and then accept a full scholarship to Xavier University to play there. That summer, it would have been easier had I torn my MCL, the inside ligament, or kind of behind the knee ligament in your knee. Unfortunately, I just sprained it on a horrible tackle in a tournament we were playing, just kind of to stay fit before we all head off to college and head into my freshman year of college with a knee injury. Unfortunately, that just blows up my whole first year, and I miss a good, I'd say, 2.5-3 months of the college season. And unfortunately, my idiot coach and me, being an idiot, didn't realize that in order to accept a red shirt, it has to be a season-ending injury. So just because I came in and played the last 4 games of the year as I finally got healthy, and it was the less amount of time that was required for a red shirt, it wasn't a season-ending injury. So that red shirt didn't qualify. We didn't know that until the 4th year. So then I play all year, the whole time, my 2nd, 3rd, 4th year, sophomore, junior, senior year, and I think I have this extra year of eligibility. I get a call from one of my former coaches who says, hey, FC Dallas wants to take a look at you. You know, you have to fly down. They'll fly you down for a tryout. And, you know, it's a pretty good deal. I think you should definitely take it. At this point, I've, you know, done well. 2nd in the conference in goals, assists my senior year. Really coming around. I'd moved out to like an outside mid, kind of left winger type role, cut inside, score goals, et cetera. Took free kicks, corners, set pieces, the whole 9. I also had a girlfriend at the time, and I also wasn't done with my schooling, which is extremely important to my parents and, you know, frankly, to myself. But unfortunately, I had that girlfriend and decided, you know what, I have another year of eligibility. I do want to finish college. That opportunity will be there in a year, so I'm not going to take it. Turn down the invite to go try out for FC Dallas. In hindsight, really, really dumb. I find out about 1.5 months later that the NCAA is not going to grant me my extra year of college. I end up getting in a gigantic fight with my school because they had promised me 5 years worth of scholarship. And now without a year of eligibility left, we're trying to deny that. I did get my 1 semester paid for, my 4.5 years paid for. And in that time, decided to keep eating and drinking like a total asshole and not working out like a D1 athlete. And I gained 40 pounds. I'm not even joking, 40 pounds in like 7 months. And then when I finished college, tried to come back and try out for a local pro team in Atlanta. At that time, it was called Atlanta Silverbacks. Was way too out of shape for that. I had 1 other tryout that did not work out. I got about 15 minutes into it and just said, that's it. And decided to hang it up. and tried a different career. And so I literally went from potentially getting signed by the likes of Manchester United and Newcastle and West Ham to gaining 40 pounds because I'm depressed because I don't have another year of soccer and missing out on pro opportunities for a girl in school. And long story short, here we are. What? 14 years later, I'm on a podcast talking to you guys. So it's not all bad. I certainly have some regrets. I regret, I should have stayed in New Jersey and continued training with my team. I should have left, my parents. It's not their fault at all. It's my fault. Nobody's fault, really. I should have stayed in New Jersey, trained with them before that trip to England. Who the hell knows what would have happened if that would have gone on? I should have transferred after my freshman year in college when I realized that wasn't the right environment for me to make this a profession and take it seriously. I should have transferred after my sophomore year, my junior year, and I certainly would have should have taken that tryout after my senior year. So a lot of regrets, but a lot of really good memories and a lot of travel and a lot of opportunities. And look, I made a ton of lifelong friendships along the way. It's certainly given me a base with which to grow my fanhood and my analyst hats and my technical and tactical analysis that brings me everything that I do today. And so would I change anything? No. I got a great wife, a good family that we've just started. Got a great job here. Assuming sports come back at any point and we do have jobs, couldn't be happier with where we are. But man, the what ifs are hilarious. I'm a king what ifer. My wife gives me shit all the time. What ifs, what ifs, what ifs. I'm like, hey man, what fun is it not to fantasize about what could have been? What would have happened if I did stay in New Jersey and did continue that form? I did have the matrix going on. Where would I be right now? Well, I wouldn't be married to my wife. I'd probably have some, British babe and, three or four. I'd have a wag right now and three or four kids popped out. Who knows, man? It's a crazy world out there. But look, I didn't want to depress you guys with all the coronavirus talk, so I depressed you with my career history. How about that? So there you go. That's the story of my career. A lot of missed opportunities, a lot of gained weight, and a lot of fun, and a lot of highs. A lot of highs in there, and I skipped over quite a few in the college and late high school years. But trust me, if you get an opportunity and you think it's going to lead to really good things and you don't have, a family unit set, that is exactly the time to take these chances. If an opportunity were to pop up right now, number one, I'd be realistic. I'm too old to take it, but I have a family. I have a job. I have a mortgage. It'd be hard for me to take that opportunity now. At 20, 21, 25, take those opportunities. That's the time to do it. And if it fails, who cares? What are you really out? An entry-level salary at some job that you don't even love? Who gives a shit? Go try stuff, man. I did. I did in the soccer world. I did in the business world. I moved up to Wisconsin, took a chance because I really wanted to grow the sales aspect of my career and moved up there to work for a company in the middle of the winter, frigid temperatures, minus 20. And it led to another opportunity, which got me back to Atlanta, which led to another opportunity, which just took, it's crazy. The cause and effect of your decisions. And all of those have led me to this space here and spending some time with you guys. And I couldn't be happier about it. We have so much to look forward to whenever sports get back. But until that point, I'm going to do my damnedest to keep you guys entertained. Obviously, if you have any more questions about my career or anything in between youth all the way down to the end of it, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at DukeDFS. But the main takeaway here is if you get an opportunity, dive into it head first, as long as it's not going to ruin your family unit, because they don't always come around. And especially when it comes to athletics, you have a limited window with which to make those good. As far as the business world goes, you're still young. No matter your age, you got nothing but the rest of your life left to make good on those opportunities. That's going to do it for this week's Talking Soccer podcast. We'll be back next Wednesday with or without sports, talking about something to keep you guys entertained. Adios.